outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Annoying Bluetooth Headset User.
Mr. Annoying Bluetooth Headset User.
The rest of us can't tell whether you're bellowing at a coworker or at your imaginary friend. But there's one thing we can tell. Your incredibly inflated sense of self-importance.
That's right. You're the only one that matters.
When we see that stupid wireless set strapped to your head, we wish it did have a wire so we could strangle you with it and get some peace.
That would make a nice ringtone.
I'll call someone who gives a crap.
Like some other idiot with a Bluetooth, yeah.
So the next time you're frightened by the sound of someone having a loud, one-sided conversation, don't worry. Most likely, it's an escaped mental patient. Or worse, it could be Mr. Annoying Bluetooth Headset User, a real American hero.
Mr. Annoying Bluetooth Headset User.
I really gotta get me one of those.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning and welcome to Wednesday. It's September 29th. Kara just made it in one piece.
I'm here.
You're here. That's good.
I'm here. Poor Sam has not
been... You make me wonder every day whether you're going to be here or not.
I've never not been. Well, that's not true. There was a one time I did sleep and then called you at like 9.
Yeah.
Whoops, my bad.
Yeah, we can't forget that one.
Yeah, poor Sam. He's been getting the shitty end of the stick as far as looks go here. Yesterday I showed up in like this transparent top with stars on it. And then I had like a big poofy skirt and tennis shoes and a hat. And all day, my friends, anywhere I went, they were like, hey, nice outfit. They're like, hey, you're looking hot.
I don't remember what you were wearing.
Good, there you go, because you really tuned into my heart.
Yeah, there you go. And you know my memory, it's like a goldfish, you know.
Oh, is that what the goldfish is? Yeah, no memory.
Yeah, they're supposed to have a very short attention span or memory or whatever.
Mm.
But yeah, that's me.
That's funny.
Yeah, so it's good for you that I don't remember bad things, you know.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good.
So how are you doing this morning?
I'm good.
Are you braving the heat?
Yeah, it was, you know, we don't have a lot of AC in our house. I told you that. So I slept again.
Neither do I.
Is it still broken?
It's still broken.
No.
The guy came yesterday and it's still not working. And but he said it'd be fixed this morning.
This is definitely a time where we're really getting to test out, you know, those AC systems in LA. And people are really starting to rethink. They're either mechanics or they're... You know, their AC providers or something going, this is BS.
Yeah, every time it gets really hot, all the air conditioners stop. I don't know what it is. But, you know.
Texas is big on AC. My brother's in the AC business.
Really?
They have it so set up to where, you know, you have certain installations where it's constantly on like some kind of sensory, so it will constantly keep the inside of your house 72 or whatever it is you want.
It's called a thermostat.
No, you dork. It's like an electronic sensor or something where you never have to touch it.
I see.
It does it itself. It senses what the temperature is inside and outside and everything.
Right. That's a thermostat.
No, but you never have to touch it.
I don't have to touch a thermostat either. I said it and that's it.
I think there's something special to what I'm saying. I just don't know what the thing is. Shut up, Sam.
All right. Well, you know.
I think it's... Ooh, a thermostat. No. Oh, man.
Well, that's cool. So, listen, we're going to have a guest. We're going to talk about social media and stuff. We're going to call her in a few minutes. But in the meantime, we have a wonderful guest in the studio, a lovely lady named Marie. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning to both of you.
Yes, thank you for joining us this morning. So, Kiara, Marie told me she's all the way from the west side.
Oh, okay. What time did you leave? You know what? Actually, it wasn't bad. I left about 8:30-ish.
Oh, okay.
Well, I was a little nervous, though, because traffic, you never know, mm-hmm. right? And
yeah.
I actually got here at, like, 5 after 9.
Yeah.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah, traffic coming this way is pretty good in the morning.
It's not as bad, yeah. It's going west. Where in west, the west side?
I live down by the beach, Manhattan Beach area.
Oh, so South Bay.
Oh, really?
That small strip, though, that it's a two-lane. And it's like you're throwing dice. It's either really easy and smooth, or it's gridlock and no one's going anywhere.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Manhattan Beach, it's pretty cool down there.
Compared to here.
Yeah, I mean, nice.
What has the weather been there since it's been sweltering here?
It's actually, well, comparatively speaking, it's around 85, 90, so it's really nice, but it's actually been a little warm for us. Mm-hmm. A lot of places on the west side or in close to the shore don't have air. So we rarely need it, but we have those, you know, few moments, those couple of days where
Like one or two
handy.
Days, yeah.
Right,
so
right. I can't complain. I mean, compared, I was out here.
But. Yeah, do you have AC?
No.
Oh, okay.
I have a window.
Yeah.
You have a window. I have a window and a fan.
There you go. Is that working, though?
I mean, you know, it'd be nice to have a little air, but I was out here in the valley when it was 113, so I can't complain at all.
Yeah.
Plus, near the beach, they don't have AC. You know, they figured you get enough ocean breeze and that. So.
They're like, deal with it.
Yeah.
Right. You can
and
do
it's
get
older
a breeze.
Places. Yeah.
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 It's been a little balmy in the evening where normally, you know, it's usually really crisp.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm enjoying that aspect of it.
Because it's normally kind of chilly, huh?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It gets really cold.
So how'd you wind up in Manhattan Beach?
I love the water.
Yeah.
It was just, I was in the marina prior.
Right.
And so I just always liked the water.
That's cool. So you find cool places to live, which is nice.
Yeah, and I like the beach. You know, I really like to be physically active, so I like to rollerblade and bike and all that. Not that I do, but you always talk
you
about
like
that
to.
You're going to, right?
Yeah.
Right.
That's
well,
funny.
If you like to, that's the first step, you know.
Right. And I have the blades. I keep them in my car, but, you know.
Yeah. Are you originally a California girl? Or,
no.
No?
Actually, I'm originally from France.
Really?
Yes, I'm a French citizen.
Wow.
But dual, I'm legal. Yeah.
Dual, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good,
because cool.
We're not crazy about illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
When did you move out here?
When I was 7.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah, this is it. This is home.
You still?
Well, Washington, actually.
Oh, okay.
You know, yeah, and then it was too cold, too rainy, don't like it, so.
Yeah.
It was
so you speak French and everything?
My French is a little rusty, but
yeah.
Yes, I couldn't speak.
Well, let me
speak
teach you some,
here.
But of course.
There you go, Sam.
You
like Inspector Clouseau.
Yeah.
That was really, you're on it, Sam.
That's French.
Fluent, clearly.
Yeah.
No, I understand French, actually.
Really?
Took French in school for 3 years, in high school. But so I can't really speak it, but I understand it, you know, pretty well.
Qu'est-ce que
c'est?
Never mind. I've lost my French now.
I love how we're having a French off right now, and neither one of them really is on it.
Yeah, we're just dabbling.
Yeah, it's funny.
Wow, so that's cool. Do you have French parents or American? Really?
Yes. No,
cool.
Well, that's why I'm a French citizen.
So you're originally French, right?
I'm the real deal.
No, because I was thinking some Americans can go there, get citizenship, and have kids, you know, so.
Well,
but that's not the case with you.
Well, if you have a child there, I think they will honor you citizenship, but, you know, that's ethnicity and nationalization are two different.
Yeah. Do you like France? I mean, do you go there sometimes?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
That's cool.
I like it. I actually like Italy a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And Mama, she's not happy with that. She constantly reminds me that I'm French.
Really?
Yeah, it's like, don't say anything about any other country, you know?
Right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You never wanted to go back to France to actually live there, I mean, with citizenship and everything?
You know, perhaps one day I'd like to live bi-coastal, really. I mean, because I just, when I go there, or in Italy, anywhere, I mean, because it's an entirely different lifestyle, mentally, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you really, I felt like I'm home.
Mm-hmm.
I get off the plane and it's this I don't know, I can't explain it, but it's
aww.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. Have you been?
No, I've never been.
To Europe anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
no.
you have to. It's, you have.
Yeah.
Obviously.
No, as far the farthest you get to Europe is probably Paris, Texas, right?
No, I've just been through the U.S.
Yeah, I used to know someone from Paris, Texas, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah. You know who's from there? Don Henley is from there. You know, from the Eagles?
Is?
Yeah.
Love Don Henley.
Yeah.
He's so good.
Yeah, you see, I know some details.
There you
man.
Go.
There you go.
There you go.
Girl dialed in.
Yeah, no, the girl I knew that had lived there was crazy about him, so she told me that he's from there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So so that's a scoop as far as the Eagles go.
I love the Eagles.
Yeah. Are you you still look tired to
I'm
me.
A little tired.
Yeah?
I have to deal with it right now.
Yeah.
Just a little tired.
Why
little
is that? You've been partying a lot?
No, I'm not partying. Just, I don't know. I slept on an air mattress in front of the AC last night.
Uh-huh.
So I wasn't in my bed. I don't know if that had anything to do with it. I was cuddled up underneath literally the AC. You know?
Sounds good. That's the way to do it.
Yeah,
you know?
I was, you know.
My wife and I were going to go outside and sleep on the balcony. It was so nice compared to the house because the air conditioning wasn't working.
Oh,
you know?
Really?
Yeah, the house was hot, man. I'm
I don't know
you.
How you went.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But it's tough, you know? The night before, when it first broke down, I couldn't even sleep. I had to get up in the middle of the night. I was just sweaty and everything. You know?
So is it getting fixed today or what's
Yeah, it better be.
So what did what happened yesterday? He was like, I don't have the right
tool?
Yeah,
he came, yeah, I don't have the parts. You know, he's got to go on the roof and everything. So it's always the same thing. When they were going to fix it here at the office also, they didn't have a part. We had to wait 3 days until they fixed
They're
it.
They're AC people. Have your crap together, man.
Yeah, I know.
How can you not have a part for, it's like a plumber not having a pipe.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, well, you didn't expect that you're going to have to fix something?
Yeah, they never have the parts. I don't know what the hell
That's
the problem
crazy.
Is. Yeah.
Mm.
Hopefully
so,
today.
Yeah. So you were 7 and you guys moved to Washington, D.C.? Is that what happened?
Actually, well, we were on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. Love New York. Mm-hmm. Then we moved to Washington State.
You lived in New York also for a while?
The East Coast, actually, a little bit. In Pennsylvania. Why, I don't know. We're not Amish or anything like that. But we ended up there and then moved to Washington State.
Yeah. Oh, Washington State.
State.
Oh,
right.
Wonderful. That's beautiful up there.
It is. It's gorgeous. It's really majestic, the mountains, everything. But, you know, it's beautiful for a reason. It rains too much.
Right. Yeah.
Mm. Right. Yeah, I just don't know how people do that. Too much rain all the time.
Yeah. No. See, I wouldn't mind it. I love rain. But maybe too much of it gets on your nerves too, huh?
Well, you like it because when you get it here, you're like, oh, like, it's raining. Let's watch a movie and stay in. But it's like, it's raining again.
Right.
You know?
Yeah,
it's,
I know.
Yeah. How long did you live there?
Oh, too long. yeah. Yeah, too long. But I learned how to swim really well, right? I mean, it was pours when it rains. It's it's crazy.
Yeah. Wow.
That's crazy. So how long after that did you move down to LA, or did you kind of hop, skip, and jump around and then find LA, or how did that work?
No, I moved directly.
Oh, you're like, and LA will be it because it's sunny.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And it's just, you know, LA is just, it's a good city to live in. I didn't have like a focus like, I'm going to Iowa. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Just,
yeah. Did you have like entertainment dreams and things like that?
I did. I did actually a little body doubling.
Uh-huh. Oh, really? That's cool.
Yeah, that was fun. That was interesting. And
how long did you do that for?
I did that for about 4 or 5 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Who did you?
Ago.
Do you know? Do we know people you body doubled?
You know, we have to sign.
Oh, you
that
can't.
That we can't say who's.
Because they don't want them to know there's a body double there,
that
huh?
You're someone's butt cheek.
Or yeah.
That's hysterical.
Yeah, you have to sign.
I would get a body double off freaking heartbeat. I wouldn't even be like. I mean, there's parts that I'm really proud of, but still, I'd wanted to kind of keep it lock and key, you know?
Right, right.
But I'd be like, hook it up, put that one. They're like, she's not even your ethnicity. I don't care. She's got the right parts.
It's
put
working.
Her in.
That's right.
Yeah, not even the right body type, but yeah.
Yeah,
I'll
no,
take one.
I will take that. I don't think people would believe it, Kara. She's black or whatever. You know, I don't care.
But you look good.
But you know what? We're going with it. Wow, that's pretty cool, though.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Was that, like, ever nerve-wracking or nervous or...
No, no, I mean, not really. You know, it was just an entirely different lifestyle of, I mean, I always eat really healthy anyway, but I lived in the gym.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I worked out about 2.5 hours, 6 days a week.
Really?
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Because that's your job, huh?
Yes,
that's your source of income. Yeah.
It is. It is. So, you know, there's pros and cons. You know, it's fun and it's good, but, you know. But you point, you just go, man, I really want a cookie.
Yeah, at one point were you like, I'm going to eat that whole damn birthday cake.
That's
not my birthday.
Right. This pizza is mine. Get your own.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You did that for like 5 or 6 years and you're like, fajitas are good. I got to get out of this. How did it work?
I just decided to try, you know, other things. It was fun. And,
mm-hmm. Does it pay really well, I'm assuming?
It does.
Yeah, I assume so. Like, if you're like, you know, Julia Roberts' thigh.
Yeah.
Right. It does. It does pay. And then, you know, because you'll see a lot of advertisements of even lotions or things, you know, and you just see someone's hand inserted mm-hmm. or the backside of someone in a shower and you don't see a face or, you know, that's kind of part of it as well.
Yeah.
Or even feet. Dr. Scholl's.
That's cool.
Well, Kira, maybe you can be like a breast double or something, you know?
I don't know. I'm too proud. Like, I want people to know they're mine.
I see.
I'd be like, that bitch stole my boobs.
You can put a little tattoo on them. They belong to Kira. Kira's property.
No, I couldn't do it.
You'd make a lot of money with it, I'm sure.
Yeah, I know. I can't think. I know. I've gotten tempted to do some. I can't. You know, I got to get just a real job at some point. Good old strong back. Put it to work instead of, you know, for shortcuts.
All right, well, let's take a short break because we're going to call our author. The book is called 30 Days to Social Media Success, and I thought that's kind of interesting and relevant. So let's call Gail Martin, and I don't know where she's located. We'll find out.
Hello, Gail Martin.
Gail, good morning to you. Sam and Kara calling you from L.A., and we're joined by Marie in the studio. Good morning to you.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Where are we calling you? What part of the country are you in?
Well, it's actually afternoon for me. I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh, I see. Okay, as far from us as possible.
Yes, but the listeners will never know.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Are you originally from South Carolina?
No, I'm originally from Pennsylvania.
Oh, I see. Okay, so, well, we have a Pennsylvania.
Really toast, but a little colder.
Yeah, just a little bit, huh?
Just a little.
Yeah. So, Gail, we're calling you about your new book. It's called 30 Days to Social Media Success. I started reading it, and I realized it's more than just about social media. I mean, you really took a nice marketing, business plan type of approach to this book. Tell us a little bit about the book itself.
Well, sure. I designed 30 Days for Social Media Success for busy people, business owners, solo professionals, people who don't want to read a lot of theory. They want ideas and a strategy that they can put to work right now in their business with the goal of helping them get more clients, do more business, make more money. So it's not a theory book at all.
Right.
It's designed to have short chapters, about 3 to 5 pages, with some action items that they can put the things they've learned in that chapter to work right away for them. And it all focuses on having a strategy for being on social media. And that strategy is all about helping you achieve your number one business goal. If that isn't driving you out on social media, then you aren't going to know why you're there, you won't know what you're doing, and it won't be effective.
Right. So social media we usually attribute to people, finding friends, past friends, new friends, and so forth. How can it help businesses?
Well, in a way, you're trying to find new friends also. We call them customers. You want to let people know about what you have to offer in a very helpful way. Now, I think everybody's run into somebody on Twitter or Facebook who is a hard sell. Buy my book, buy my product, buy my service.
Right.
That turns you off really fast, okay?
Right.
What people want is help with a problem. And to the extent that you are helpful, without pushing a sales pitch, people will be attracted to you. They'll want to know more, and they may become a customer. So it's about relationship building by offering helpful information up front for free, you know, be a good neighbor in the community. And as people get to know you, they may choose to deepen that relationship by doing business with you.
Right.
Of course, if they never know you exist, that opportunity isn't even there. So it's a great way to meet people who might not otherwise find you.
Right. But so I would imagine, you know, if you just sit there and you try to get people to buy your product, it's probably not going to be very effective. I would think you'd want to create some kind of a communication and relationship with your customers.
Well, absolutely. You want to get people to tell you what's on their mind, what their problem is related to the kind of solution you provide. You can answer questions on forum boards and in chat rooms related to the kind of business that you have. Don't be afraid to give some free advice, some free tips, to share some of that knowledge. People will start to see you as an expert, and they will want to buy from an expert that they get to know.
Right. Now, is the most important consideration getting as many friends and followers as possible? Because, I mean, you would think that is the goal for everyone. That's what everybody's trying to do. But is it really effective to go for big numbers?
Well, you know, you hear about the celebrities like Ashton Kutcher or Lady Gaga who have a million followers. And that's right. Great if you're a TV star or a singer. But if you're a business person, it's not so much about having a huge number of followers as having followers who are really interested in the product or service that you offer.
Right.
I tell people, you know, if you put a sign up outside your store that says free beer today, lots of people will come in the store, at least until you run out of beer.
Right.
When the beer runs out, they leave. And they weren't interested in what you had to sell at all. They just were there for the beer.
Right.
So, you know, don't worry about having a million friends and followers. I'd rather have 500 people who were really interested in what I have to offer than 5,000 people who don't even know why they're there.
Right.
You know, for most people, if you have 500 people who are interested in buying your product, it's more business than you'll know how to handle.
Yeah. No, I think that's true. And I think it makes a lot of sense, you know. And I think if you use those social networks to inform your customers and to let them know what's going on, you get them a lot more involved with your company and your product, you know. So, I totally see where you're coming from as far as that goes. Now, So you're saying, now I wanted to ask you about Twitter and Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
In your opinion, where is it easier to get more followers or friends? I mean, is Twitter, because, you know, I've tried to work with Twitter and it seems like it's very time consuming.
Well, you can share different kinds of information on Twitter and Facebook. Facebook mm-hmm. is easier to share pictures and videos that are related to your product or service. You can have a lot more conversations going on and say a little bit more. You can share news a little more easily. So Facebook gives you a lot of different alternatives.
Right.
It's also easier to find friends on Facebook in some ways because Facebook has groups. And so one of the things I suggest is, instead of just friending everybody you meet, go out to a group that's related to your subject, your topic, your kind of business, join the group, get to know people in the group, and invite them to be your friend on your page. Now at least you can assume that if they joined that group, they're interested in the topic.
Right, right.
Twitter's a little different. Twitter is microblogging, 140 characters, basically two sentences.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great place to share tips, to refer people to a good article that you've read, or to recommend a book. It's you can share links to video or pictures, but you have to share the link. You can't just share the picture.
Right.
And one of the best ways to find interested people in your topic on Twitter is to go see who the leaders are in your subject, the people who've written the best-selling books or the big speakers,
mm-hmm.
and go friend their, go follow their followers.
I see. Okay.
You know, you're assuming that somebody followed the big-name speaker in your industry because they're interested in the topic. Well,
right.
If they're interested in that topic and your topic is related, they're probably interested in that, too. When
I
you
see.
Follow somebody, most people will follow you back.
I see.
And if you're interesting, they'll stay.
I see. So that's how you get people to follow you, is by following them first.
Well, that's kind of a second-tier approach. First, you know, the easy thing is to invite everybody who already is in your email list, everybody who is in your Outlook address book, everybody who's already in your opt-in email list, and invite them to join you on Facebook and Twitter.
Mm.
And you can give an incentive. Maybe you offer some coupons or some special deals just to people who read your social media page that you don't offer anywhere else. That
right.
kind of word gets fast.
Yeah.
So start with the people you know, and then get to meet people that you don't know, but you think you can help.
Yeah, definitely. So now what can someone expect after the end of 30 days in reading your book and everything? Will they be a little more prepared to build their networks?
Oh, I think absolutely. If you spend 30 minutes a day for 30 days, and yes, that does include weekends, implementing the to-do lists, the assignments at the end of each chapter, you'll have a working social media strategy. You'll have sites up on the right, pages up on the right sites. You'll be confident that the information you're putting up there is the right information to attract the right kind of audience. Now, the thing is, you're not done in 30 days. You've built it and you've gotten it up and working, but you can't just walk away from it, because if you're not consistently adding new information, people will get bored and they'll leave.
Right.
So you have to build it, but then you also have to keep it up.
Right. Well, it makes sense, you know. And I like the approach that you also have people, you know, produce business plans and really plan it out, and a strategy as well. So it's not
right.
Just jump into Facebook and start collecting friends, you know. So I think that's a cool thing. We're talking to Gail Martin. The book is 30 Days to Social Media Success. Gail, do you have a website where we can go and learn more?
Absolutely. You can find me online at GailMartinMarketing.com. Go under the books section and you'll see the book right there.
Wonderful. And is the book available at bookstores and Amazon as well?
Absolutely. It's certainly available on Amazon and other online booksellers, but you can find it in Borders and Barnes & Noble and other bookstores across the country. And FedEx Office is also featuring it in their stores.
Wonderful. Wow, that's cool. Now, there's a way, original way to market.
I'm very pleased to be in their stores. They actually picked us. They only have a handful of books in their store, so I'm really thrilled to be part of the number of books that they're offering.
That's cool. Well, congratulations to you on the book and on your website and everything. And everybody go out and get 30 Days to Social Media Success, Gail Martin. Gail, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So that's social media for
you. Are
you
going to read it? Because you kind of dabble in like all this.
Yeah, well, yeah, I started reading it. It's actually pretty cool, you know. You know I like to read all kinds of stuff. You
from
know?
Now on, if there's a book I want to know about.
You just ask me, right?
I'm going to give it to you. And
there
you're going to
be
like a machine. You're going to eat it, and then you're going to spit out like a summary.
Yeah.
And the highlights, like the cliff notes. He reads books like,
are you like a glossary?
So something like that, yeah.
He reads random stuff. He reads.
No random. It's always planned.
You're like Yoda.
No, you read that book Click. You've read weird stuff.
Why is it weird?
It's not weird, but just random book.
They're not random, okay? They're not random.
What's Click?
I mean,
should I know what Click is?
No, it's just a chemistry book about how people get together and have like
chemistry. Oh, yeah, chemistry. Like,
no, yeah, but exactly. It's just more like
meth lab chemistry.
Yeah, exactly. No, but it shows you how people click with each other.
It's a cute concept for a book, I think.
Yeah.
But it just all of a sudden went from Jackie Collins to Click. So.
Yeah, there you go, you see. I guess it does sound random,
yeah.
But it's not. There's a method to the madness there, I'm sure.
It's funny.
So, Marie, so you went into body doubling and everything. What was the next progression from there?
From there, I actually was a painter.
Mm-hmm.
It's rumored... Yeah. That actually, my great grandfather was Claude Monet. So,
really?
Yeah. So I've always liked to paint, and so I painted quite a bit, and then mm-hmm. I started taking that painting and applying it to faces. So
oh, wow.
I started doing makeup artistry.
Really?
As well
oh,
for
wow.
commercial
oh, cool.
and print and
yeah.
magazines.
Things. Kiara likes to do that
yeah,
too, right? Kiara,
fun.
You're into makeup. And
yeah, I
stuff.
Used to do makeup for like you know same kind of concept like weddings or photo shoots or
right.
some Oscar people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, it was fun for a while. It was really fun. Do you get into it?
Oh yeah, I actually had the privilege of doing a show for Cirque du Soleil.
Oh, wow.
Which well, because of this mind, but trust me, it's just so far out there. So they allowed me to. They gave me a concept and let me run with it,
mm-hmm.
and I had to build elements of like water.
Oh, wow.
And all of that. So you're just it allows your mind to just really
That's cool. Be creative.
And so you would do makeup within the vein of like a water element on people or their body? Or
correct.
Oh,
I had to make them the water and create that. So it had to go in regarding costume, hair, makeup. And
oh, wow.
So it was really, it was wonderful. It was really
It's probably
creative.
Really collaborative, huh? Because you have to work with the costumer and everything.
Right, very much so. And you kind of, so sometimes you start with an idea and you think, okay, yeah, this is great. And then by the time the completion, you taken a 180 and kind of, because they allow you that creative. And
oh,
once
wow.
you get going, you know, you just kind of.
How cool is that?
It was so much fun. Oh my gosh, and the bodies these people have.
Really?
Oh my gosh. I mean, think about what they do. You know,
yeah.
they're like balancing on their fingers and,
yeah.
and things like that.
Yeah, they do amazing things at Cirque du Soleil, that's for sure.
Yes.
That's so
yeah.
cool.
It
How long did you
fun.
Do that?
Well, that, I just did one show.
Uh-huh.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Created a. That for one show, which was so much
That's
fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
A lot of prep, you know, to prepare for
yeah.
all of that. But
it's like an art
huge.
Design kind of thing.
Absolutely.
So yeah. how'd you get a gig like that? I mean, you
because
know, it's
I'm
not,
good.
Because
yeah.
you're good. And you made yourself known to them?
That's actually, I was invited to, you know, obviously I wasn't going to refuse. I was like, I'm down with that.
That's really cool.
Right. So, yeah, I did that and just because of my other work that I did.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was, it was a lot of fun.
Awesome.
It's way cool, man.
Yeah.
That's really, really cool.
God, look at your eyes. You're so tired.
I know. I'll let her do me up. Do you like or not like when people do your makeup? Because it usually...
Mine? No. I hate it. I was interviewed on the show The Doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And, their makeup artist, oh my gosh, she made me look like a hooker. And
really?
I mean, it was
really?
Just, and they're just, and I was like, oh my God, I'm not going on TV like this. So I had to run back. They're like, we got to mic you, you know, you're going on. And I'm like, okay, just a minute. I ran back to my room and I had to like redo my makeup as quickly as possible. I looked like a lunatic.
I just get really, because, you know, you know, we all have certain features and things like that. And some people just don't know how to like, do different eye structures or bone
right.
structures, or you know, you don't know how to give somebody cheekbones or not, because I do a lot of freaking work even to look natural. Like I've got a real baby face, you know, and if I don't give myself cheekbones, they're not there. It's just
right.
like cheek.
But you have gorgeous your eyes.
Oh, thank you.
Gorgeous
right
eyes.
Now they got a nice glossy look to them right now. There, my coffee. But no, I mean, I know how to make it like do what it do. I know how to make it pop, you know. And so sometimes I've sat down and people have done it, and I'm just like, you gotta be freaking kidding me, lady. And I'll get pissy. I'll get real pissy. And I know it's not a diva thing. It's just that you know what you like and how to make it work. And if you do it as a vocation, if it's your trade, you know, I get very critical too.
Oh, absolutely. I thought, and actually they said I could do my own makeup, and I thought, you know what, it would be fun to see what someone else would do. Perhaps they're gonna bring something to the table that I've not experienced. So I was open to that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, big mistake.
Really? Did she give you like a smoky eye or something?
But wrong coloring. I looked like a crackhead. It was like, you know, like that heroin chic sort of a refugee. It was horrible.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
It wasn't good.
No,
I can't handle it.
I can't handle it with somebody. I'm like swatting their hand. I'm like, bitch, get up.
Back off.
Yeah. Back off.
Yeah. So you say it's better to put on my own makeup if I decide to.
I think you should say. What do you mean if you decide?
Yeah.
If I decide at a certain point to put makeup on.
Yeah, no. You need to.
I'll do it my own.
Just make sure. Yeah, I just don't think as many people are as invested in our look. You know, even though it's their job, I don't know. There's certain things.
Well, yeah, I mean, we have our own little egos that we want to, you know, but we all have this little ideal of what we have in our head or what we should. And, I mean, look at Tammy Faye. She really liked to accent her eyes.
Mm. She loved that. She gave her some
one or two tubes of mascara on each eye.
Really?
She was set to go.
I think she should have just gone with some fake lashes or something at that point.
Oh,
just
my
go
gosh,
with
yeah.
some thick fake lashes. At least it would have been a clean finish and not so clumpy, you know?
And right. I mean, but see, if you have a feature, you can accent that and go with it. But then she, you know, she enjoyed the blush and then she enjoyed the lips and the, it
so
was kind of Bozo sister.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what she looks like, right?
Yeah, I know what Tina's. Yeah.
She's
yeah.
a sweet little woman, though. She was on that Surreal Life. Did you ever see her on the Surreal Life?
No.
She was really, really nice.
Really?
She was just really, really accepting of people, really non-judgmental, sweet.
Nice.
Really, and yeah, and I mean, she's just rocking like, you know, Las Vegas
you know, streetwalker makeup, and she's like, "That's cool, love Jesus, what's up?" She was not. She's cool though. She's super sweet. I mean, I've never hung out with her, but
yeah, she seemed a little eccentric. I wasn't quite sure she, you know,
oh, it was all there.
I thought perhaps the lights were on, but nobody was home. I wasn't sure.
Well, you never know. Yeah. I mean, you don't know till you know.
I've never seen her in anything, but she's on Saturday Night Live, right?
I think she might have done it, but no, she's the ex wife.
Jim Baker.
Oh, you're talking about Tammy Faye Baker.
Right.
Okay, I thought you were talking about Tina Faye.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Okay.
No. All right. Love Tina Faye.
Yeah. No.
Tina's beautiful, yeah.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about with her eyelashes and stuff. Yeah, she was like.
She took it to an entirely different. Yeah. Alien-esque level.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That was her trademark, I think, you know? Yeah. But she passed away not too long ago, right?
I believe she did, yeah. She passed for cancer or something.
Yeah,
certain.
Yeah. Well, that whole thing with Jessica Hahn and Jim Baker, you remember the whole thing? Were you too young for that?
Yeah, too? I just know something bad went down.
Yeah. He was messing around with the secretary, and he was like an evangelist.
Yeah, a televangelist, right?
Right. So, and then they discovered that, so there was a whole scandal, and, you know.
Wasn't he also extorting money from, because they had this huge, like, plantation, this entire community built with homes, and...
Maybe, I don't remember
I don't recall, I remember reading up on it, and I think, he ended up doing time, so there obviously something was awry.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Yeah, I think they embezzled or something, who knows?
Well, I wonder how Tammy Faye's doing in heaven, I wonder if she's rocking some... mascara.
Yeah, well, she's dead.
No, in heaven, you know?
Oh, in heaven.
Like
mascara.
What she looks like.
Yeah.
Maybe
probably
she has like a souped up version that's like really cool.
Right. She has her like, she has lashes there.
Yeah, it's probably like really cool. She's like, the lashes I always wanted. They look like wings, like angel wings. That's cool. I'm going to say hi to her when I get there.
Yeah, yay, Tammy.
Yeah. I'm going to say hi to her when I get there.
I know. You never know what it's going to be like, though, huh?
No, you don't. I just think we turn to ashes. That's all it is.
Yeah, that's real. It's
worm
hopeful.
Food.
Real hopeful.
That,
yeah,
we become worm food, you know?
That makes me want to live a moral life right now. Just knowing that, who cares?
Yeah. But that just goes to show you that I think man invented all these concepts of heaven and
no, I don't agree with that because it's a universal. We're like the only beings on this earth that have like this universal... if you even want to say we invented it, why does there's this universal need to invent God then? Whereas like,
well, that's
beings. Yeah, but why is it even there? Why is there a universal need to know that God exists?
No, not that God exists, but to explain things around you.
I'm not buying it.
Yeah. Okay, you're not buying anything that doesn't agree with you.
Well,
with
that's
your
true.
Worldview.
Well, it could be a great place where you can, like, eat anything and never gain weight and drink anything and never be hungover. And,
yeah.
I mean, you know,
you see, that's the thing. People have hopes and stuff, you know, but it doesn't mean that's the way it is, you know?
Well, I mean, if you really... I mean, obviously, I haven't had my coffee yet, but I could tear this subject up hardcore.
I'm sure you can.
And just
totally... You can try.
No, I don't... Not try. I could totally expose the flaws in this theory. However, it doesn't matter. You have to kind of, like, dig it for yourself and go, if it really doesn't matter what we do, if this is the only life and there's nothing after this, why, for any reason, would you have order in this place? Why, for any reason... Would you care about your children and why if somebody gets hit by a Mack truck? I mean, really just take that theory and stretch it and go, you know, what's really the point of not only living civil but loving people and having compassion, having empathy?
I don't think it has to do with the next world. I don't think so at all. What's the point? The point is that you make your life a lot more pleasant.
Yeah, but
you know?
Why does it make your life a lot more pleasant? For some people, making life for some people, making life a lot more pleasant, it's going to rob a bank, getting away with it, and drinking a Mai Tai on the beach.
Okay. So that's what, that's what does it for them.
but at the same token, we have conscience, and we feel guilt, or at least some people do, right?
For the most part.
And I think that there's a reason for that.
Because we have a built-in right and wrong. I mean, basics right and wrong.
And we also have order because we have laws.
Yeah, but laws stem from morality. And
we
that
have
comes
a moral
from,
compass.
Laws stem from everyone's moral compass. And
not necessarily. It also comes from, needing to keep order, you know. And,
yeah, but why
and
do you need to keep order?
Having everybody live by the same rules.
But why do you need to keep
because
order?
Because you're going to have chaos otherwise.
Okay, why do we not want chaos? Why do we not want every man for himself and just take what you can, survival of the fittest?
Because the society is not going to survive that way.
Why do you care if society survives? Why not just if you survive?
If I survive, because I'm a social animal. I want society, I want my environment to survive.
Okay.
Okay?
But anyway, you have a conscience. You
I don't do anything because I might be rewarded in my next life.
Well, you don't, but I'm saying, you know.
And I believe in God, by the way, and you know that.
Well, then.
You know?
Well, how does this. You believe in God, and then you think you're worm food. How does that work?
Yeah, because I'm torn on that one.
We're all torn, Sam.
I'm not sure, yeah. Just in case, you know, just in case there is God. No, but I mean, you know, it's
in
because,
your fiber, it's in your being, it's in your DNA.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's evidence everywhere that there's God, you know, and I believe that as well. But I don't think that you have to do quote-unquote good things in order for you to have a good afterlife. I don't think
I'm not
it's
necessarily,
about that,
I'm actually
know?
Not. Well,
these are human traits.
Listen, I'm not,
like
if you want, I mean, what I believe is that, you know, doing good acts comes from one. I think it should be generated from one place. But doing good acts does not guarantee, in my opinion, a deserve or not deserve of, you know, having a life with God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that I think it's like when your kids love you or your wife loves you or you love your wife, because you love them, you mm-hmm. want to naturally do things. You're not always going to be perfect, but you're going to want to do things to please them, right?
Not necessarily, not me, though.
No. Yeah, right, Sam.
I don't do shit.
Yeah, I know you don't. Not around the house. But let's say there's certain things you're not going to want to do because you don't want to harm her.
Right.
And there's certain things you're going to want to do for her because it pleases her. And
right.
It's because you
absolutely.
Love her. Because
right.
you love her. I mean, you provide things like that, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay, and it's because you love her, not because necessarily you're going to get or not get something. That
right.
plays a little bit. It's more because you love her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think from that love for God is where those good deeds, if you want to call them good deeds or whatever, should flow from, not because.
Yeah, that's where it should, but that's not the way it is. I think many people think.
Well, I'm just talking.
You know, if I don't behave a certain way, then, you know, I'm going to hell.
Consequence versus reward.
Yeah.
Yeah, that only goes so far, though, I think. I mean, ultimately, God sees our heart, and He knows why we do stuff. And He knows when we do stuff if it's really just self-motivating. And usually most times it is, because we're all flawed at best. I mean, even in our best motive, we're still mixed.
Because
mm-hmm. we're humans. We're broken. But ultimately, like, if everything we're doing is some kind of reaction for something for us, God sees through it. But ultimately, God just wants intimacy with us and relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you have, like, with your family, your wife, your kids. And there's that love that is generated and pours out.
Mm-hmm. I like how you know what God wants.
I do. He just emailed me right here. He's chatting with me on my Facebook.
She's
right now.
Got a direct line, toll free.
She's
to God.
Well, you know what? Forget that it came from my mouth and my opinion. You know, think about it. Get back to me and tell me if you think it makes sense. Like, don't care about the messenger. You can, you know, forget that. But think about it. Think if it makes sense or if it even resonates in your heart.
Yeah.
Or your spirit.
I don't know. When it comes from you, I automatically have my wall
up.
Hey,
that's okay. I've got walls up too with people. I'm loud mouth opinionated. You just say, screw Kara. But then think about it. Think, you know, does it sit well in my soul, in my heart? Does it make sense? Does it resonate?
Yeah.
You know?
Marie, where do you stand on that issue?
Well, you know, I don't want to be on Kara's side or whatever, but I have to agree.
Mm-hmm.
It's I think God
She's
knows.
A keeper.
Well, you know what? God knows your heart, and how you said from your works or it doesn't matter of good, and it's all relative. See, you know, as you said, self-motivating of why you did something. Was it truly mm-hmm. to be nice, or was it because you know you want something in return down the road? God knows your heart with that. And a good civilization, I mean, I'm a good person the way I'm dressed right now. If I were in another country, which we'll leave unnamed, I would be beaten.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at best. I would be
by
right.
people who claim to know what God wants.
Right, but that's the more extreme. But I'm saying that's their society. That's their ruling, and they feel that that is right. But,
right.
I mean, there has to be a moral compass of universal of what is actually right or wrong, because you can't say, well, actually, yes, you know, I can see your ankle, so we should cut you off at the knees because that's right.
It's, yeah, but know, how are you going to tell them that they're wrong and you're right?
Well,
you know
I don't think this is about theology disagreement. This is more about heart issues. I mean,
right.
When somebody wants to harm a human because it even violates what they believe, if somebody violates what I believe, I'm never going to use that to justify to harm them. That let's say somebody says, oh, I don't believe in this, or I'm going to live this way, and I personally don't agree with it. Well, if you know the Lord, and I'm not saying like you know totally God or you, that he, you hear him audibly, but if you're seeking God, you see him in people, you see him in nature, you love the Lord, and you're seeking him, you know God's heart is not to go out and freaking machete people or hurt them because
yeah,
you
but
disagree.
These people also believe that they're doing God's will and
but
so forth.
Deep
you know?
In their heart, and they need, no, at some point, I think they cross over, but at some point, people know that it violates their core, their inner man, their soul, because you're not supposed, it's another human being.
No, that's an ideal. It doesn't happen. I believe all these extremists.
Unless they're a sociopath
and
they've lacked remorse and empathy, there's some point where they have not yet been desensitized, and in their fiber and DNA is just a basic human being.
Yeah, but they still, you know, I mean, they feel that their way is the right way.
Yeah,
and
over
they
time, they're going to be desensitized, just like I could be desensitized to it. I could
be brainwashed.
Brainwashed. I could become to a place where every time I do it, I think I'm earning points. But there's a point where you have to get there.
There is that point of turning the other cheek, and it's not of literally of someone beating you, but if you don't, if you have the same ideals as I do, I just need to go, you know what? You're wrong. Mm-hmm. But okay, whatever. That does not give me the right, because my God suddenly whispered in my ear that I'm allowed to take you and your family out.
Right. But they believe that.
Right. Well,
that is
I'm
indeed.
Saying that's,
so
that's
it's
what
all
we
about
have institutions for.
Well, but it's your institutions. It's not theirs, you know. So it's like it's
no,
always
you're buying
it's
into
relative.
No, you're buying into the hype a bit, because the reality is there are some. You,
I'm
you're,
buying into the
no,
hype.
No, you're not
I'll
recognizing.
Tell you that these Muslims are like.
I'm not. No, I've heard your Muslim rants. I'm not against it. All I'm saying is I'm not talking about different theologies and this is what they believe. This is what they. I'm talking about universal truths, regardless of your faith, religion, upbringing. There are some universal basic truths, okay, about that run down the heart of every human being at some point. And then at some point it can get turned off. It can be desensitized. It can be brainwashed. But I'm saying there are some basic truths that when you give a gun to a kid and you say, shoot your parents right now, they don't want to do it. They are forced to do it, and they do it over and over and over and over, and they start to not feel bad about it, and they start to think it's okay, and they're actually climbing the little village killer corporate ladder. And they
okay, so that's not a universal truth.
No, then. But no, what I'm saying is there's a point when you give a kid a gun, he doesn't want to kill his mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
He knows it's wrong, and he could be told, well, God wants you to do this, or he could be told, this is the law of the land, and these people are here to harm you. He could be told a lot of things, but even in his fiber and in his being, he knows that it is wrong at that moment in time, but it can be eroded over time as well. And I'm thinking, you know, if you're going into a different faith or religion or a sect of that faith that encourages, you know, violence in the name of God, well, I don't think that they just come out of the womb thinking that. I think it's a learned behavior that they become desensitized to. There's a universal truth in them that becomes, you know, kind of snuffed out over time.
Right, but everything is about socialization, you know. So it's not, you know, you're born, you don't have these sense of, if you don't culturize the baby, you don't know what they're going to grow up like.
But I just think that there's a morality and a conscience that is very raw. I'm not saying it goes into every tiny black and white issue of right or wrong. But basic truth, survival is one. You know, you're going
to. And when you have to survive, there's no morality. I mean, if you have to kill an animal to survive, then you're going to do that. If you have to kill another person to survive,
but
you're
I think
do that
there's a basic instinct of survival that's there. I also think.
Yeah, basic of survival.
Yeah,
there
but
is
I also
there.
Think
yeah.
that there are some basic morality. Rights and wrongs that we have a conscience. I mean, unless you have a psychological something that's happened. But I think we're all pre-built with basic. I'm not talking highly refined. I'm talking really basic, like, you know, not going around slaying people and being okay with it.
But
I think that is learned behavior, is all I'm saying. So people that are in whatever sect of whatever faith and they've, you know, advocated God said this and God said that, I think there's a point at which they did not agree with it, and they were then taught that it was okay over and over and over. That's
well,
what I'm saying.
There's that adage of, you know, treat others as you would like to be treated. And
yeah.
I think that really kind of simplifies it is, you know, you don't want to be ridiculed or humiliated or slapped, and so don't do that to someone else, and let's all just be happy.
Right, exactly. But again, right. You know, that's culture and that's education and so forth. So I think if you put people in the wild, yes, we have certain instincts and everything, you know, we're social animals and so forth, but as far as morality, I think that's something that's learned. But that's my opinion. What do I know, right?
Nothing.
Yeah. You know everything.
Yep.
You speak for God. I mean, I don't even know how I dare even
Shut
argue
up.
With you.
Whatever. I just come in from a place of passion and conviction. If you want to take that as piety, that's fine. I'm just telling you how I feel.
Okay,
believe.
I know. I know you tell me how I feel, and I respect that sometimes.
I know.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're almost at the end. Marie, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you both so much for having me.
So what do you do now? I mean, like currently, how do you keep yourself busy and everything?
Oh, I have a lot of little coals in the fire.
Really?
Yeah, I keep myself. I do actually like voiceovers and...
Really?
And various
That's
things
cool.
like that. That's why I keep myself busy.
So you are in entertainment. That's what...
Very much so, yes.
Yeah, cool.
You mean I didn't entertain
so,
you today?
Yeah, no, but, you know, people have day jobs too. But,
right.
You know, so... But it's the American dream to make it in Hollywood, so...
It is
go.
The dream.
Yeah. And so how many years have you lived here in L.A.?
I've been in L.A. about, 12, 15 years.
Oh, okay.
Something like a while.
So,
long while.
Okay. So you're almost a native.
Yeah, I am. I am. I'm a Californian. And in fact, anywhere I go, they are immediately go, you're not from here, are you?
Really?
It's quite clear. Or so it seems.
Yeah. That's interesting. All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us. Kira, go and get a nap or something.
Hey, you get a nap.
I will too. Thanks all for joining us. We'll be back here tomorrow.
Been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.